Turuntuset tulee jo on äl.
And today I would like to talk with you about culture export. And to introduce the topic, I have to say that Estonia has really heavily developed or invested in developing in the creative economy. And we really see growth of interest and the new companies coming to the market. And it's also growing from the creative side. But the main challenge for the creative companies and the cultural companies is how to export it, because it seems to be a very local interest in the field. So, and I know that you have a lot of experience about that. If we start from the very beginning, how did you start with Lazy Town?
Lazy Town started almost 26 years ago.
Wow.
And it was an idea that I thought about how can I motivating the world, how can I do that from Iceland, because Iceland is only 300,000 people. I lived in a town when I was small, was only 500 people in my city. There was 8 kids in my class. So so it was not like the perfect country. They have never sold TV show out of the country. 2004, Iceland have never sold TV show out of the country to other countries. So it was not like you could easily think about like, okay, who can I call and ask for advice? It was not so much experience in the country. There said, to answer your question a little bit before I speak a little bit about Lazy Town, it's the difference between Iceland and many other countries. Iceland is an island. And our island mentality is a little bit like that. You have to go out each time you leave the country. You have to go out on a plane or a boat or something. And then you can pick either north, west, east, or south. And before you're 20 years old, Icelandic kids have been maybe to 10 countries. So there's a lot of expertise basically go into either United States, Spain, London, whatever like that, and you brought back to your island maybe the best you saw in those countries. So you, if you want to buy clothing, you would buy the most trendy one, or a record or music or anything like that. This was very influenced from what people used to travel. So it was an island, so everybody brought something, and it was easy to tell everybody about it. It was only 300,000 people, so everybody know it. So I sometimes say it a little bit like if you're telling a joke or you're teaching a game. If you're teaching a game for people who are 60 million people, it takes 2 weeks to teach it. But in United States, it's 300 million people, it would take a year. But in Iceland, it would take only a minute to teach the whole country a game. So, so if you think about it as a marketing, like in United States, Frank Sinatra could sing My Way for many, many, many years. He could still travel everywhere and be in Las Vegas and everywhere. In Iceland, you run out of ideas quickly because everybody have heard your song, you're out. It takes few weeks and you're out. So if you listen to a music in Iceland in the top 40, it comes very early here before it hits United States and before they hit London on the top 40. So it's a little bit like a test market. So a lot of people use Iceland as a little test, maybe.
Wow.
Because you would get, so from the entrepreneur stand-up point of view, Iceland is really high. But Norway is only in a certain sector, like oil or something like that. But there are not so much entrepreneurs in Norway. But there's a lot of entrepreneurs now starting and have been in Sweden, because they have the mentality to teach about music, about all kind of things. It's just different mentality. So I think mentality has a lot to do with it, and the location and the culture of your country, how the culture is. And I think in your case, the challenge is not only that you have, you would have, even if you have a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of, is to get it out, that people believe that this is, like, let's say it's a timber company, parquet or something like that for floors. It's difficult for you maybe to say this is from our country, because maybe Swedish, they will look at that as a higher quality than from your country, even if it's not the truth, it's a perception. So, and the reason is, it comes from the culture, how media and the culture have talked about your country or your heritage or where you come from. And so you are also fighting that. You're not only fighting that you have an idea, and then you also have a fantastic idea, you have a company behind it. It's not that it's difficult enough to sell that idea, but you also have maybe the culture of the country or where you come from, and et cetera, et cetera. So most marketing and innovation, they used to come from United States or England or some of those countries, and they have always looked down on other countries. They have always done it. And they look down on Iceland, they look down on small countries, they look down on Eastern Europe, they look down on those countries. And you can, even if they don't say it, it's a reality. And so, like, if you think about the entertainment business that I was in, it only been 7 brands who made it over from Europe to the United States. So it's normally the other way around. So they make brands in the United States and the shadow hits the rest of the world. And then you can basically, so it's better to start in the United States and go the other way around. Then, and this is because the marketing people in the United States and elsewhere, they realized like, okay, nobody else can make it except us. But now it's changing, because now they are realizing that in the world, there's a lot of things happening. And especially with the new technology, everything is totally changing. So there are game changers changing the industry, a lot of them. It's happening in so many fields. It happens in retails. It happens in taxis with Uber or Airbnb with hotels or apartments. It's the whole world is changing. So I can talk about that a little bit later, but I want to go back to your question about Iceland.
Okay.
When I was in Iceland, I thought about how can I motivating the world? And I thought I would maybe want to motivate kids. I want to motivate families. I wanted to motivate the world. And I thought about children's health. Obesity is getting catastrophic. Kids are getting more unhealthy. Food is getting more unhealthy. This is going to be in years to years, years to come. This is going to be a problem. Some people say even, and studies have shown, that this is the first time that generation, that kids are going to live sicker and die younger in Western world. And they're going to be basically maybe the life expectancy is going to be less in my children than maybe in my generation. This have never happened before. And if we don't do anything about it, obesity, for example, in Mexico is huge, and United States and even in Iceland. So I saw this and I wanted to do something about it. So I created Lazy Town, who was about health for kids, but it was a TV show who never mentioned health. We never talked about it. It was in the background. So it was tool for parents to raise healthy kids, but it was also tool for kids because they looked at it as a music show, action show, funny show. So it was a little bit for everyone, but it's really delicate because health is really delicate because if you go too much, it's unhealthy. So for example, if you would run marathon every day, you are unhealthy, you are a lunatic. But so how much should you run? What is a healthy person? All those questions was a huge challenge. So what I did is that I went to more than 3,000 live events that I performed by myself to speak to kids or parents in almost 52 different countries to test what is it exactly that people would understand. And I got the same questions from 500 same questions from every parents and kids around the world. There were 7 issues. It was about every parent who are raising kids, they want the kids to be healthy. They want them to follow rules. They want them to be able to share things, not lie and teach, not use violence, and educate themselves. So this was, and don't be stingy. Don't learn how to share things. Don't say like, this is mine. I want to keep it all for myself. So this was basically it. And number eight was maybe cleaning your room. But those are the Lazy Town characters. So basically, that's why Lazy Town went really cross cultures. It didn't have any religion. It didn't have any politics. So what was good about Iceland, the same thing, is that Lazy Town didn't bring politics in a bag. So if you would sell your show to China, if England would sell it or United States, they would bring politics in the back. So in Iceland, there was nothing like that. Iceland, they thought that you didn't even have TV. So when you sold it, they thought like, okay, you're never going to be a competition. So they gave me all the information. So when I went to all those 52 different countries, they and I asked them, what is your main challenge? How do you do that? Why do you do this? What is the biggest mistakes and all those things? I learned more about that than actually maybe speaking to a general marketing company. So then I took all this together and I put it in my head, and I wrote Lazy Town. And so it is a little bit like, it's good to go on the field and understand what's happening and understand what drives a little bit that you can sell your idea. You need to sell your idea. And I give you for example, if you work in a shop and you would ask people, can I help you, when they step into your shop?
They say no.
You cannot then strangle your customer and say, yes, I'm going to help you. I want to show you my t-shirt. But you cannot do it. But if you ask a different question and you would say, have you been here before? And the person would say, yes. When was that? Last week. Okay, since then, I have a new t-shirt. Or if the person would say, have you been here before? No. I have a new t-shirt. So that is the difference. So I think what needs to happen in marketing and everything like that, we need to change perception, how we sell it and how we talk about it. And that's why, for example, the first barrier, believe it or not, from Iceland and small countries and also for your country, is that where you come from, because they don't believe you can do it.
Absolutely.
They don't believe you can deliver it. They don't believe that your country has the capability of doing it. They don't know anything about you. They don't trust you. This is sometimes advantage, because you can get a lot of information, but then you need to collect that information and change it, that they really need it. So I give you, for example, what I say sometimes to my students. I say sometimes like this: if you really want to work for Mercedes-Benz, then you would start practicing to go to Toyota and say, can I have a job? The Toyota said no. You call them back, why didn't I get the job? Oh, because you didn't know anything about cars. Okay, you learn more about cars, you go to Mazda. You say, Mazda, can I work for you? They say no. Why not? Because you didn't know anything about automatic cars. Okay, you go and learn about automatic cars. You go and go, can I get a job? No, for Ford. Ford says, no, you're not wearing your blue jacket. Okay, you put your blue jacket on. In the end of the day, they say, okay, you don't know anything about electricity car. You learn more about that. And then when you come to Mercedes in 3 years, you walk into Mercedes and say, do you know what I can do? I can sell automatic electric cars, and you're wearing your blue jacket, and they hire you. And because you know that was their problem, because Toyota is going to tell you everything about Mercedes. They have so much problem with automatic cars. They don't know anything about electricity cars. BMW is winning, blah, 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 blah. You go to them and say, guys, I can sell for you. I can fix that problem. And I believe that's why men, for example, are sometimes getting better jobs than women, because women are 500 times better than men, at my experience. But women, they are more careful. They don't do it. They don't tell they know until they know it. They don't say, I know this, or I can do it. But men, they would say, I can do it, but they don't know how to do it. They learn it or something. But they would put their head out there, and they would lean forward, and they would say it. And this is what I think women need to start to do more. They need to be more leaning forward and say, of course I can do this. Because in my opinion, most men would hire more women because they are better workers. They are much smarter. That's my experience. So I would say in Lazytown, this was pretty interesting. But also was another question in Lazytown was, we need to have it, no time on it. I don't know if you know The Muppet Show.
Yes, Muppet I do, Show, of course.
It's a fantastic show, but they cannot rerun the show because they cannot rerun it on TV because the guest was from 1972 or 82, and the haircut, you can see it, but this is 1972. So they cannot rerun it because kids would watch it and say, well, this is old, the clothing is old, the styling, blah, blah, blah. So I need to have it timeless. So I call it timeless, that you cannot see a time. There is no time. The design is a little bit like, is it 1950s or is it 2010? What is it? And it also needs to be that everything around it need to a little bit like would be like health, never go out of fashion. We're going to be healthy in 50 years to come or 200 years. So to bring up kids is the same. You're going to be, you need to do that as well. So in my mind, that's what I thought about also. And I also was driven by, I really want to have a business that everyone would win. And I am a strong believer in marketing that everybody should win. I understand marketing that you would sell stuff as much as you can and you make a lot of profit for your company. I'm not there anymore. I'm more like, how much impact does this have on the world or people or lives or stuff like that? I want to change industries instead of about health for kids. I want to change it. I want to put my mark on it. And I never understood why, if I'm going to do a fantastic TV show for kids about health and every kid start to move because we have a sports candy, that is fruit and vegetables, and millions of kids around the world came to me and they showed me they're eating fruit and vegetables because this superhero Spartacus ate fruit and vegetables and then he was really, really healthy. He had no superpowers except fruit and vegetables. And so what's quite interesting is that you wanted everybody to win. So if I sold more fruit and vegetables, retailers are happy, parents are happy, the farmers is happy, Lazytown is happy, government is happy, kid is happy, everyone wins. This is what I believe more in than selling something that, for example, if I made a fantastic TV show, they wanted me to sell licensing of toys or a plastic shit.
Absolutely.
That kids didn't really need, and I didn't like it, and I hated it because I thought, like, why do I need to do that? Why do I need to sell stuff something that they don't need? This was the biggest challenge for me, and so that's why I'm thinking this is changing. The industry is changing because the information that people are getting is much quicker than it used to be. That's why, for example, you are getting Airbnb or Uber or whatever, you would get the taxi. They give you point, and you give them point. If they don't get above 4, they cannot drive a taxi, and if you don't get it, you cannot take a taxi. So this is what I think is changing a lot in the industry. So if I would be marketing anything, I would really think about this. It's not possible to advertise anymore your product, just advertise it. It has to be gap in the market. It needs to be gap, otherwise nobody wants it. You need to be in top three. And when I say top three, I give you, for example, let's say Estonia would find something like a wooden floor. They have to say that we are number three in the world, top three in the world. Then people will start to listen. Okay, so how can you do that? Let's say you have exactly the same floor that everybody else. you can say we have the best floor in number three because we deliver it faster, because we treat our people better, it's because the machine are cleaner, because whatever, find it, what it is, and then you put you in a place. I could always say Lazy Town is number one in the world in health for children. It's number one. And no one argues about that. Nobody said, no, no, you're not. And the reason was not because we were so good. The reason was because there was no one else. So we were the only one. So what I think is important when you're selling any product, whatever around the world, that you need to establish yourself is that you are in top three. If you're not in top three, you're not going to make it. And I think you can establish that differently. You can just be more specific. So maybe it's because it's in this wood, it's because in this forest, it's because we are driving it on this truck, it's because we're doing it, we use this plastic or whatever it is. In the end of the day, that is gonna, people are starting to think about it. Oh, okay, there's a biggest retailer now, not the biggest, but the biggest rising retailer is Whole Foods. Whole Foods is much more expensive than other retailers, but it's about organic. So you can find out if you buy a fish, it's come from Icelandic boat, Monday, this time at 5 o'clock. The name of the guy who took it was Peter, and he used this kind of equipment to fish the fish. This is a reality.
Very good. May I ask you now, what, you had such a unique concept. What did you do for the first steps when you were the first one trying to export a show from Iceland? What did you do if you had no one to call?
First, what you need to do is that you need to win your local market.
Okay.
So you either like a small town, and then you extend it to a bigger town, and then you extend it to your country. This is what I did. So I did it that for 10 years. And I did it that when I went to a bank and I asked for $80 million, they said yes, because their kids were already living it. So I could go to the bank and I go only to bankers to have kids, 6 years old or something like that, because they would be living my brand. And Iceland is very small, so everybody knew about Lazy Town. So when I sold to a banker, the banker would say, yes, I know your brand. My kids are eating fruit and vegetables because of you. So that was easier. You understand?
Yes, of course.
But then you need to take that out for the world. So I made a presentation. I did my homework. I went to all those countries. I did my homework. I put it in a business plan. I put down what the show was, a show Bible, and everything, wrote everything down about that, the brand, and the I call it mountains to climb. And what I mean is that, I'm going to explain it like this. Maybe you just jump in if you don't understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely, I'll do that.
Let's say you have a box with 50 other boxes inside, and each of those boxes have a name on them or a number, and each number or a name would have a possibilities of your brand. So I give you, for example, let's say you have a TV show, Lazy Town, and you would say one box, it could be a TV. Next box, could Lazy Town be a theme park? Yes. Could Lazy Town be a sport equipment? Yeah, absolutely, because it's about health and sport. Could it be a food? Yes, it could be food, because it's a healthy food, easily. Apples, yeah, it could easily. Could Lazy Town be a singing? Yes, yeah, a lot of singing in it. Okay, so it could be music. Okay, could Lazy Town be whatever? So you can go forever. Toys, yes, it could be a toy. Could it be on a boat? Yes, it could be on a boat, like a cruises, easily, whatever. So let's say this is 50 maximum possibilities you can get out of children programming.
Okay.
Like max.
Okay.
I wanted my brand to fit all those boxes. Even if I never used them, even if I only used one, I had the mountains to climb, possibilities to do it. So let's say it's a $1 million in each one of them, possibilities. I could say I could go further. I could put in a theme park. I can do that. I can do different things. If I take any other brands, like any brands like let's say, for example, SpongeBob. SpongeBob is a show from Nickelodeon in the United States. It's up and it's about sponge, but it had nothing to do with health. So I could take out one box and say, "Ah, oh, nothing to do with health. Has it anything to do with sports? No, nothing to do with sports. Food? No." So I'm not talking about that you would take the logo and slap it on a logo. It had no relevance on it. You understand? Like Mickey Mouse.
Absolutely.
On an apple doesn't make any sense because it doesn't eat apple. I understand Mickey Mouse on a cheese, but not an apple. You understand me?
Absolutely.
So it had nothing to do with it. It was sold because people couldn't sell the apple, and they sold it with a sticker on it with a picture of Mickey Mouse. So because kids love Mickey Mouse. They didn't buy it because it was authentic root to this. So what I'm talking about, if this is maximum possibilities, that means that anything is possible and you have mountains to climb. So if you would sell anything, it's really good to have mountains to climb still. And that means that if investors, they would see more possibilities if they would say, oh, if the TV fail, then the brand is ruined. So you don't necessarily put everything in one basket. But the challenge with LazyTown was on a different, because LazyTown was fantastic successful, but not in every case. And I explained for you a little bit why. Because if, when I went around the world and I spoke to parents, and LazyTown was in 179 countries talking about health on TV, 500 million homes saw LazyTown. Kids were motivating to move and eat healthy. They went to their parents and said, I want to eat apple, I want to move, and I want to, everything like that. Their government, they called me and said, how can we change obesity in my country? And I came with ideas for them. This is how you should do it. And they all wanted the photo. They all wanted to, like, oh, a photo with Sportacus or the Magnus Gehring from LazyTown photo, but they never wanted to do anything. And the reason why is because if they go and say to the retailer and the government, okay, we're going to put taxes on sugar, we are going to on unhealthy food, the consumption of unhealthy food is 20 to 30, 40% more than unhealthy food. So you would eat much more of a junk than actually unhealthy. So that means that the retailer are selling more. That means they're selling more of junk than actually on something healthy. They're also selling, the workers have more work. So it means if you would start to ask for health, the doctors have nothing to do, the industry of drugs that people have to take is less. The retailer can sell less. The manufacturing cannot sell, Procter & Gamble and all those companies can sell, the profit is less. No politician want to touch it. This is a reality. So,
okay.
So the challenge was much bigger than this. It was a little bit like you're selling a bed that people really wanted to sleep in, but they're not allowed to do it. And so that's why it comes from the grass marketing, that it comes from the ground and up. Do you remember the tobacco companies? When you used to have tobaccos in every movie and everywhere.
Yes.
And certainly people said, this is not good. This is not healthy. It costs society millions and millions of dollars. This is really proven to be unhealthy. Until people had a lot of money and bosses on a big company lost somebody or they got sick by themselves, they realized, this is really bad. And they start to fight back. In 20 years, the food is going to be the next tobacco companies. The lawsuit are going to be around food. So in 20 years, it's going to be United States. It's going to be bombarded by lawsuits about food. People are going to say, I ate at this restaurant all my life and now I'm dying. Or I ate this brand from this company and you're going to sue that brand. This is what's going to happen. So I think in many cases, we need to start to think differently. because the information travels very quickly, and Lazy Town was right on the wrong time. It started 26 years ago, and it was when I spoke about children's health 26 years ago, no one understood what I was talking about. You had Jane Fonda doing exercises and videos and for grown-ups, but there was no one talking about health for kids. But she sold 300 million copies to get a great ass or something for a woman. But that, because we are not there yet. And I think in maybe 10 years' time, it's going to be more and more talk about it. But we are not there yet. So I think that's what that was the challenge of Lazy Town a little bit.
Okay.
So that's why it's not the best case to talk about from Brian's point of view.
Okay. But let's say now, you had the box full of possible ideas what to develop and a lot of mountains to climb. What were the next steps?
The next step was to take it out of the country. And I said, I wanted to go to the United States. It's the most difficult wall to crack. So I made this presentation. I went and I did my homework. I went to New York and I told the TV station there, I have a fantastic brand that I think you should get. No one is doing health for kids. This is what's going to happen in the future. You need something. You need a shield. You need a shield for your company because if you are selling advertising on TV for kids, all the advertising was junk food. And they were all junk. And what is really needed, they needed Lazy Town because Lazy Town was the only program who was not healthy, who was healthy. So if somebody would start to say, guys, you're only selling bad food to kids in the commercial, they would say, we have Lazy Town. Okay. So I knew that Lazy Town could be a shield as well. So I used it in the sale. So I said, it's a fantastic program. Kids love it. Da 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 da. It's also a shield for you. It's also the future. And it's I'm going to do it really well. The high quality is going to be really high, et cetera, et cetera. And then they start to say to me, yeah, kids are never going to be interesting to watching health. It have never been successful. And I say, I know how to do it because I've done it for 10 years. I know exactly how to do it. And if you don't believe me, I can prove it to you. Just give me any school in Queens with most difficult kids in the world, and I should show you. I thought they would never call.
Okay.
I thought they would never, like, do that, but they did. So they said, okay, we have the school. We have 200 kids. Show us.
Okay.
So I went to New York, and I did it, and they bought it 1 hour later. They said to me, where are you going to produce it? And I said, I'm going to do it in Iceland. And they say, have you ever produced anything? No. Have you ever done a script? No. Do you have the money? No. So how are you going to do it? And I told them what I wanted to do. And they thought, I think, okay, let's see.
Let's if him fail.
Yes. But we showed them a little bit what we could do. And they... And then we did it, and it's the fastest sold TV show in history around the world, independent. But it was a challenge. Lazy Town is a stepchild in its TV station, and because it's not owned by Nickelodeon, it was not owned by BBC, it was not owned by Disney or anybody before. That's why you came in as a, we love your show because it gets always in top three in ratings. But it's not their show. Nickelodeon sold merchandising around their top three shows, and Lazy Town was like stepchild because it was not their show. So it was always a little challenge. But you have to think about one thing, which is quite interesting. There is no industry that I know of who have less decision makers than kids' TV. I explain for you what I mean. In Iceland, there are only two stations. In Lithuania, there may be, two that show children's TV in the country. There are five in UK. There are five, six in the United States, three in Japan, and et cetera, et cetera. That means that you can only get two no's, and then you're out of the country. So if you say, do you want to buy my TV? No. Do you want to buy my TV? No, you're out. But if you're selling wood, there are millions of people who want to buy wood. or T-shirts. You can go and say to, if you get one no in Estonia, they would say, yeah, there's another guy, another guy, another guy. So you have to be really careful because you only got one bullet for each country, maybe two. If you got two no's, you are out. You couldn't be in the United States. But they bought it. It went to fantastic ratings. And we did it totally differently. I need to do somersault. I stood on my hands, anything, basically, to make my point across that this was something different. Okay. So I think if I would be selling wooden floor, I would do something totally different. I would get an elephant walking on it. I would get millions of people dancing on it. And I don't know what I would do. I would put it in Times Square and invite them or whatever. I would do different things to try to convince them that this is a good product. But then LazyTown went around the world and I sold it then to Warner, to Turner. And I wanted to quit when I was 50, and I did. And yes, that was my exit. But it need always to be a little bit, like I said, mountains to climb, because people who are going to buy it, they want to know, oh, there are some mountains that I still can go and make it be even better than this guy or do something better. I'm not sure my investors would be happy with LazyTown because I could make more money, but I didn't do it. I rather want to shut LazyTown down than sell something that I was not happy with. And this was just me. So I think maybe Turner can be much more successful with LazyTown than I ever was.
Okay. And,
but this is something that you have to have a presentation. Normally, when you're selling something, you explain it, you show it, you sell it. This is normally what it is.
Absolutely. I just wanted to ask you, told at the beginning that you had 3,000 presentations in 52 countries before you started to write the show. Why so many, and how did it kind of, how did it come?
The reason why I wanted to do it, I call it two generations. I said to my team, I'm going to be 8 to 10 years to do it. And they said to me, 8 to 10 years, are you crazy? And I said, I want to do it because it takes 16 years to build a company. And in my mind, except in a technical companies can grow faster, quicker, because in a day they can be boom. But normally behind that, there is a certain amount of work that people have to do. And either your father used to own something or somebody had a knowledge who worked for you for many years, et cetera, et cetera. So in my mind, I want to have a two generation. And when I say two generation, I mean that kids in the age group of LazyTown was 0 to 6. So that's 0 to 5 years old. And then you have another generation coming up. So you tried it on a two generation because there could be possibilities that only one generation will like it. Did you understand?
Okay.
So just pop, like I listen to a disco. So my daughter, she don't even maybe like disco. She like hip hop or something else, or R&B or whatever. It's something. So I would say I want to take two generations, and I want to test it in different countries with different cultures, and I want to see, are the kids same wherever you go? And I realized kids were exactly the same. They love to move, and they use sounds when they are playing, like whatever they know how to move. You don't need to teach kids how to move. And every grown-up that I met always said to me, who was selling, when I was selling my TV show, they said, you have to teach kids how to move. And I said, no, kids know how to move. Every kid that I met, I've never seen a kid from 0 to 5 years old who doesn't know how to move. I've never seen it. And so it was not correct. It was more that they wanted to be motivated to do more. They want to be motivated or have space to move or have freedom to play or turn things into a game. How can I turn this boring thing into a game? This is, for example, that I think is very easy to put in marketing for education in schools. Education in school need to be more fun. It needs to be more stimulation, that you'll be stimulated to want to learn instead of being in school and you are bored. And I think that's part of the problem with school system and education system.
So I wanted to ask, out of the 16 years now, how long did it take you to do the first presentations, and how long time was left for the rest?
I give you, for example, what I think is important. So I'm going to try to explain what I mean, because my English is not my number one language. But let's say that you are 17 years old and you want to make a bakery, and you want to make a fantastic something about bakery food and sell cakes around the world. If you would take that, your case, to a banker or anybody to get, or investors to get money, you should not go and say, I started to bake 1 year ago, open up a company here in a small town and in Tallinn, and I really want to, and I opened up a small store 1 year ago, and this is what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. You should not do that. What you should do is that you should go back in time, let's say 10 years, and you would start to say, when I was 10 years old, I made a milestone for my life. I said, when I'm going to learn from my mother and father how to bake a cake. So I worked in the kitchen of my mom all the time, and I baked 50 cakes a year. And then my friend came over. When I was 12, I had parties everywhere. They ate cakes. And then certainly I started to study, and I was always thinking about cakes. So I was on the internet for 5 years, on the internet baking cakes. I gave my friends more cakes and birthday cakes and blah, blah, blah. And now, then I opened up my third milestone was that I want to open up a store in Tallinn, and I opened it up and I did that and I sold cakes, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm here and I want to go to the number four. I want to take this to England. Do you understand me?
Do you hear my hands clapping?
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's a very good example. Thank you a lot, and very inspiring.
Because people have to understand, and that is the truth. Nothing comes from nothing. It's coming from somewhere. Either you learn from your mom or dad or your group or your education, or you can say you went to a fantastic school, or you're motivated, you saw some guy or person 20 years ago that you inspired, you look what he did, et cetera, et cetera. So everything starts, when I look at my life, I don't think I could done anything else except LazyTown. You understand me? I was built for LazyTown. You understand?
Absolutely.
So you need to bring that in the light and shine light on that you're not coming as a just happening. So, for example, if I would be selling wood, I would tell the history of the wood in Estonia. I would say, do you know, 1,000 years ago, this is what we did, and that and that. And now I'm here selling you a wood. And the guy would say, wow, his grandfather and blah, 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 blah. And all the knowledge that are already there. So that's why I think it's possibilities to change the sale, change the perception that people have that you are new and you're going to fail. You don't have the experience. Even if you don't have the experience, then you have something else. And you should sell that in your presentation. And this is what I did. But of course, you're going to fail. Everyone is going to fail. And don't look at failure as a mistake, because it took me 16 years. If my vision was a circle, and I want to do a circle, and I have in my mind, I want to do a circle, really a circle. And then you hire people, you tell them about circle. In the end, it's going to be triangle. And you're like, no, no, no. And then you do more, it's going to be square. And then in the end, it's going to be a circle. If you know where you are going, you're going to end there. It's going to be a circle, but it's going to take a time. I give you, for example, LazyTown was about health. So I can explain it a little bit like this, because LazyTown is very complicated, because it's that, what is a healthy person? What is that? What is a healthy child? Nobody can answer that question. So it was a little bit like I was selling water. and I would ask you, I would call you and say, I have this great idea. I want to sell water. You have never heard about water in your life. And you say, what is that? It's a liquid. It's a liquid you can see through. And you would say, wow, that's fantastic. I'm interested. What does it do? And you can drink it and you'll be healthy. And every person need it. And you are like really motivating. And you say, yes, I want to be with you. And this is a great idea. Then I, as a creator, I would be going a little bit crazy. I would say, yes, this is so good because you can also take a bath in it. And you're like, okay, but you can also put in a wine and put it in your wine and you can wash your car. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought it was healthy. Yeah, it is healthy, but you can do a lot of things in it. You can swim in it. And then suddenly the person is like, wait a minute. And you realize that you're going too far as a creator. You're telling too much information. So you go back again and say, no, okay. It's just liquid that you drink, is healthy, and you can see through it. It's no colors on it. And then you hire people to work for you. They work for you 3 years. They come happy after 3 years, running to you and say, I got it, Magnus. I have something healthy, but it's juice. And you say, no, it's not. It's healthy, it's liquid, but it's not see-through. So it takes time to really get the water. Do you understand me? It takes time. So yeah, don't kill when people make a mistake. Try to embrace it. Say, yes, you're very close to it. Let's go further. And in the end, it takes time. And that's why you have to be patient. So you learn more from mistakes than actually from good things. So if I were out there now in Estonia thinking about I'm building a brand, what should I do? How can I sell my investor? How can I do? I would try to look at cases in Estonia that have failed. Like, why couldn't they sell the wood? Why couldn't they do that or that or that? And call them, ask them, why do you think you couldn't do it? Why? Learn from their mistakes. And I say to my, sometimes when I speak to young kids about entrepreneurs, I says, if there's a hole in the ground and you walk and you fall into the hole and you break your leg, next, and you have to be 6 months in the hospital, next time when you walk, you would go past the hole, yes? And they would say, yes, of course. That is smart. And I said to them, that is not smart. I can tell you what's smart. Smart is to look at somebody else falling into the hole. And he go to hospital for 6 months and you learn immediately from his mistakes. That's what you do. So I think you can learn more from bad books than good books. So absolutely. That's my point.
Thanks a lot.